Today's sermon is about humility. In the reading which we heard from Luke's Gospel, Jesus goes to a meal at the house of a prominent Pharisee, and he notices that some of the guests are being presumptuous and taking the best seats at the table. We're not told how many guests there actually were, but if there were enough places at the table to give people a choice, I think it would seem logical that there were quite a number of guests there. So Jesus goes on to tell them a parable about their lack of humility and to make it clear that God honours those who humble themselves, not those who try to promote their own social status. Those who think too much of themselves, who show off and blow their own trumpet, do not succeed in currying favour with God. Jesus instead commends those who take a lowly place and don't regard themselves as better than others. Does that mean that we should never tell other people about the things that we're good at? I've actually been doing a little series of training courses at work, which were recommended by our HR department, which is, for those who come from a bygone era, HR is human resources, and what used to be called personnel, I think. Anyway, they were encouraging us to do these little short courses over the summer period. And these little courses were all about how to promote yourself within the workplace so that you could get on with your career, but to promote yourself without actually boasting about it. One of the main points of these little courses was that if other people don't know what skills that we have, then they aren't likely to ask us to make use of those skills, so we won't enjoy making use of them, and they will be deprived of those skills and the contribution that we could make to the life of the company. Which I think makes a fair point. On the whole, we are brought up in England to be modest about our own achievements and skills. And of course, that's well backed up by Scripture. For example, Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, "Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth." And there's a well-known verse from Proverbs 16, which is usually misquoted as "pride comes before a fall," but the actual full verse says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." So is it ever okay to be proud? What if we are proud of the achievements of other people, such as parents or the uncles and aunts who emailed into the One Show this week to say how proud they were of their offspring or their nephews and nieces who had passed their GCSEs with flying colours? Well, at this point, I thought I'd take a leaf out of the preacher from last week and get you to do some work. So this is not obligatory by any means, but if you would like to, here are a couple of questions which are going to put on the screen. Can you read them at the back? I did the biggest font that I could manage on my computer, but they still not come out very big. But I'll read them out to you. Is humility compatible with telling people about the skills and achievements of A, yourself, B, your immediate family, and C, your friends? And the second question, can you think of any modern day examples of people trying to push their way up the social ladder? So I'll just give you 5 minutes to discuss that amongst yourselves, or think about it, or just have a nice quiet time thinking to yourself. Right, can I bring you back under control a little bit? Just a couple of people like to say, willing to volunteer anything that was said at their table? Anybody particularly keen to volunteer something that was said? Otherwise, I can leave you to talk about it afterwards. Okay, that's fine. I hadn't put it in the schedule anyway. Well, I'll leave you to keep on thinking about that. If we look at the life of Christ, we'll see that he was very reluctant to tell people that he was the Son of God. He left them on the hog to make their own mind up. On the other hand, he wasn't reticent about criticising some of the scribes and Pharisees, and there's a whole chapter, if not two chapters, I think, in Matthew, where Jesus launches in and makes a great criticism of the scribes and Pharisees and their hypocrisy. Perhaps the two of the best-known examples of humility in the Gospels are, first of all, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which I was surprised is only in one of the Gospels. I thought it would be in all the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Luke and Mark. But in fact, it's only in Luke. And that's the one about the tax collector and the Pharisee who go to the temple, and the Pharisee thanks God that he's not like everybody else, who's a sinner. But the tax collector says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus concludes his parable by saying, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted, which we've already heard today, actually. Then there's the other occasion, which in fact we had in our dedication part, when the disciples tried to stop people bringing their children to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked them by saying, "Let the children come to me and don't stop them. I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not receive it." The second part of the reading from Luke today concerns the words of Jesus to this famous or prominent Pharisee, telling him that when he gives a feast, he should invite the poor and the lame and those who can't repay him. It seems that the Pharisee was a bit of a social climber, like some of his guests. He only wanted to invite those who would be able to repay him or perhaps push him a bit further up the social ladder. Jesus wants the Pharisee instead to be humble and generous and to be willing to associate with the poor and the outcasts of society rather than continually currying the favour of the rich, the powerful and the influential. So the Christian life begins with humility. We need to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we need to come to God and ask for his forgiveness. That's how we begin our walk with Jesus. But a Christian life also continues with humility. Like the tax collector in the parable, we need to always remember that we are sinners in need of God's mercy. And we shouldn't be like the Pharisee in that parable who looks down on others because he thought that he was more righteous than they were. And part and parcel of humility is the need to show kindness to others and practice hospitality, as we heard in our reading from Hebrews, which says, "Keep on loving one another as Christian brothers and sisters. Remember to welcome strangers into your homes. Those who did that sometimes welcomed angels without knowing it." And later in that same chapter from Hebrews, the writer says, "Do not forget to do good and help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God." I remind you of the words of Jesus, who said, "By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." There is no pride in love. If we truly love and care for others, we will not look down on them, but we will be genuinely concerned for their well-being, for their welfare. One thing is certain from the teaching and the life of Jesus: if we give money or do good deeds, we shouldn't make a show of it so that other people can see it and admire us. Our love should be a genuine concern for others, not a self-centered motivation in that we just want to draw attention to ourselves and prove and show to others what good people we are. Seems to me that humility is also quite essential when we have problems or trials in our lives. We need to admit our help and then ask. We need to admit our need for help and then ask for it. probably most of us find it difficult to ask for help. But when we do, we're often surprised by the willingness of others to oblige. In my previous company, I did some car sharing, and one of the chaps that I shared with was he was an avid car mechanic, and he must have, in the space of the 3 or 4 years that I knew him, he must have had a car almost every 6 months, and he was always doing them up. And I had a problem with my car at the time. The wing mirror had come loose, and I'd fastened it on with gaffer tape, which is a little bit dicey. I don't think it wouldn't have passed through an MOT. I managed to keep it stable enough for a while, but it was gradually getting worse and worse. And I knew I had to get it fixed, and I thought, well, I got my Haynes manual out, and, yeah, if you've ever struggled with a Haynes manual, I'm not really a mechanic. And anyway, he said he would do it for me, and I didn't really want to take him up on that. I thought, no, I don't want to sort of feel obliged to him. So eventually I managed to do it myself. And then when I told him that I'd done it, he was really disappointed. He was really put out because I hadn't let him do it for me. Well, is that you today? Do you need help, but you don't really want to ask for it? You don't want to put upon other people? Do you need to come before God in prayer and humility, asking for his mercy, for his forgiveness, because you realise that you need him in your life? Or perhaps there's some kind of problem which for many years you've been sweeping under the carpet. You've been putting it sorted out. But now you've come to a point where you realise that you can't sort it out on your own, and you do need help from God and from others. The first and most important step is to admit that you need help, to be humble, and ask for that help. And if that fits anybody today, do please come see me or Linda at the back or anybody and ask for help in prayer. We'll be very willing to give it. So to sum up, Jesus tells us not to be presumptuous and push our way forward in front of others in society. Instead, he tells us to be humble and wait till God lifts us up. He warns us to beware of becoming social climbers and focusing on our own prestige and status, and only doing good to people when we think that they will reward us. Our good deeds are to be done quietly, and God will reward us in the age to come. Amen.